In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. It is a cool, crisp day here in Houston. Ooh. The roads are Thanksgiving Day roads. If you're up with us this week, let us know, man. Hit us on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610.
What do you mean up with us this week?
And football super fans. Let me get that read in. And football super fans.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Sean.
That's okay.
But I would have forgotten my question and I would have remained confused. You mean just anybody in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
The roads are light anyways this time of day, but they were exceptionally light this morning. Come and get me, officers. I didn't stop at any red lights this morning. You know, there's nobody out there this week. So that's what it's Thanksgiving week. It's getaway week, that kind of thing. So if you're up with us, and I think people are still, a little miffled over Sunday's game. So I was out last night. I had my appearance, the Monday Night Football steak night over at Legacy Cigars and Lounge. Shout out to Legacy Cigars and Lounge and everybody who was out there. We had a great time. People are still, at least as of Monday night football kickoff last night, Texan fans still very upset over the loss to the Titans on Sunday. That is not going away anytime soon. And D'Amico even said as much on the coach's show last night. He said, man, I hope these guys feel it all week long, this loss to the Titans.
Where usually he says flush it.
That's right. He ain't flushing this one. He's letting this one float around in the toilet for a while.
There's a, you know, it's kind of, it's a delicate balance you have to try to find in coaching, where, you know, how much to hammer the bad feelings versus propping guys up. And I was watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yesterday.
Okay.
And have you seen the movie, Sean?
I've not. Nope.
Oh, it's a great movie. That's so anyway, there's a scene there where Leonardo DiCaprio plays an actor in the 1960s, and there's a scene. He's kind of washed up. He's getting to that point in his career where they're casting him in the villain role in all the TV shows and everything. So he's his show is gone, and he's at that. He's like having a midlife crisis as actors go. And there's a scene where he kind of, when he hits bottom, he forgets his lines in the middle of a scene, and he goes back to his trailer. And he just tears into himself, like flips out. He's looking in the mirror. He's saying, you're a piece of crap. You got to know it's hard to watch, man. You can see he's really going through it. And yet, it's kind of the pivot point to where he realized, like, oh, I've got a, and he ends up putting in an incredible performance.
Right.
He studies his lines.
Okay.
He's just, he's so miserable and he hates himself so much and he knows he's better.
Okay.
And then he goes out and he nails it. And it's, without any spoilers, like, it starts to move up from after that, eventually. So that's where the Texans are right now.
Yeah.
They are in their moment where they just, okay, yeah, you gotta hate yourself a little bit.
Yep.
You gotta feel the pain. And it's all right, you know, you don't want to live your life that way. But it's all right to hate yourself every now and then. We forget that sometimes.
No, it is.
In this era where it's great, it's great. Mental health is a focus. You're trying to feel better. Self-esteem, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Part of extreme success is, at times, absolutely hating yourself.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a matter, you got to rebound from it.
Yes.
But you need that low point. And I feel like, okay, yes. At this point, the Texans need to hate themselves a little bit.
I think collectively, as a group, you nailed it. As to they're at the once upon a time in Hollywood stage. I guess the question would be, if we drill down to the individuals, do the individuals who most need to have that conversation with themselves have it in themselves to look in the mirror and scream and pull their hair out at how they're playing?
I think I think a lot of them do.
Do you?
I think one of the biggest conundrums right now is that, you know, I feel like Bobby Slowick probably doesn't shy away from criticism or anything and critiques himself. But the problem is, I'm saying this almost without emotion and just looking at it and trying to remove all emotion and anger from it. It's time to make some kind of a change and figure out, A, if this is the way, if they want to just stand by Bobby Slowick no matter what, you got to fix Bobby Slowick. Put him up in the booth, something. Change something or somehow the way the play calling and the game planning is going. Or B, just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and make a change. Because I think there are too many times where individual players out there look like they don't have the answers. And they're not playing up to the same level that I've seen them play previously in their career.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz drives me insane. And yet there's a part of it where I'm like, and you can see it in his body language after some plays. He's looking at the sideline like, what was I supposed to do there?
Yeah.
And you see it all across the board. There's something being lost between the theory and philosophy and then how it's being called and how it's being played during the game.
That
all speaks to this guy is not getting it done. Bobby Slowick is. He's not, you know. So that's where we sit.
Yeah. D'Amico.
Otherwise, you know, and I'll let you know when I finish Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay, sounds good. I love the
analogy. I've watched it a couple times already, but it's such a long movie that I've forgotten a lot of things.
Is it a long movie? I'd love to go watch it. It sounds like something I would like, but you know me. I've got a shot clock when it comes to movies.
It's a fictionalized version. It's a fictionalized story about Charles Manson, Sharon Tate murders.
But
it's really interesting. So they take a lot of artistic license, and it's really good. It's really good.
Based on a true story. I got
it. It's also one of those movies. I think it's awesome, but it's also, as long as, if you'd make a movie about filmmaking, the critics and the writers and everything all go gaga over it.
I feel like
it gets a little bit rated higher than it should, just because all the film nerds are like, oh, yes, I get that reference.
Yeah.
Oh, people watching probably don't even know that actor, but I do.
Masturbation, we call that. Masturbation. let's get to D'Amico. It's funny you bring that up about, you know, something's got to change. That was the very first question yesterday at his press conference. Like, what's going to change here?
Yeah, for us, we just got to go do it. Like, we got a lot of cleaning up to do, which we go through the film, and our guys understand what we have to do. But we just have to go do it. Like, as I told our guys, we don't need a big meeting. Nothing needs to be said or talked about. We just got to go do our job.
I don't know. Jimmy Ward said in the post game the other day they might need another players-only meeting. It sounds like
the players. Nobody. This is the first rule. This needs to be the first rule. In my Ben, put this within a book of my
big
advice to NFL
rules.
Players
the
based
big
on previous experience.
Yes.
The first rule. Let's speak about another Brad Pitt vehicle, because Brad Pitt is in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
which is why Brandy thinks it's a better movie than it actually is. But he's shirtless for a spell, too.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Look, I'm at an age where I don't care. If the juices are up, good.
Yeah. She ain't going anywhere.
She's like, why are you always recommending all these Brad Pitt movies? I don't know. There's no ulterior motive here.
Not at
he's
all.
He's a hell of an actor.
That's right.
Okay, what was the point?
You were going somewhere with that. I was just going to say you were going somewhere. I don't know.
It'll come to me eventually.
All right. So a lot of people checking in saying good morning. Good morning to all of you. Morning, y'all. Up with you every day on the 5-Hour Energy Fan Line. Still here, bright and early. Appreciate you guys. That's good. Hang on. Slowick got rid of the hat. Is this not the change that you want?
Was CJ wearing his hair as long as it's been the last?
It's gotten longer. It's definitely gotten longer.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the hair's going to get longer over time, but I don't
remember. He's wearing it longer, yeah.
The last couple weeks is the first time I noticed it kind of flowing out of his hair.
He's definitely wearing it longer.
I'm like, all right, that seems like Justin Herbert, there seems to be a Hercules-type thing to whether he has long hair or not.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
I think I'm for the long hair, even okay. though it's not showing results right now.
Where are you on hatless Slowick? I said
maybe
on
the
my
theory
pocket.
Was that his brain, kind of like your testicles need to be like 3 degrees lower than your body temperature to
okay.
operate properly.
Sure.
I think maybe your brain is that way too.
Maybe
they thought, maybe the sports scientists were like, hey, your brain's running a little too hot.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of the hat. And just, you know, let's release, it's like a car radiator.
Yeah.
You know, you got to remove some heat from the engine to keep it functioning properly.
As someone who has gone through many traumatic phases of hair myself, I've settled in now on just having no hair because then nobody asks, should you wear a hat, should you not? I would go back to the hat if I were Bobby. He doesn't look very football-like without that. He looks more football-like with the hat.
But he looks like such a little kid with the hat.
He does. I know. There's not a good solution here. That's the better of the two solutions is that he wear a hat. I would say he wear a hat, but wear like a collared shirt. Don't wear the long baggy sleeves that you see the skateboard kids wearing. The combo
that's what
of the
he, does. He looks
the combo,
like a little skater kid,
combo,
doesn't he?
The combo of the flat brimmed ball cap and the baggy long sleeves that come down the sleeves that don't if you do long sleeves, Bobby, if you're listening, have them end it like right above your wrist. Don't have them end like in the middle of your hand so that your thumb is tucked up underneath so that the shirt looks two sizes too big on you.
I know. I think he needs to lean into it. I think he needs to wear the hat sideways or backwards, make it even bigger.
He's vaping in between plays.
Yeah.
He's sucking on a vape in between plays.
No, and he needs to have big baggy. He's got to be wearing Dickies. You know, or Carhartt, some try hard little, I'm a working man type of thing. Yeah, yeah. He needs to have big baggy Dickies, but his hat's sideways.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if that the first question of the press conference to D'Amico is what changes have you made? And he lists all of those changes.
Bobby signed a deal with Carhartt.
Bobby's going to, we talked to Bobby, with a straight face though, D'Amico did, we had good conversations with Bobby and he decided he's going to shorten the sleeves on his shirt and go back to the ball cap and, maybe kind of lean into him. We got him an endorsement with Dickies. Yeah.
I always wonder, man. I'm old enough to have lived through a couple stages now where Carhartt becomes a hot brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I always just thought, it's always so funny because the people who are wearing Carhartt fashionably, some kid at Choate or something,
right.
versus the people that wear Carhartt every damn day.
Yes.
I didn't realize I was a fashion icon. As I was back when I was waking up at 3:30 a.m. to go scrape manure on the farm, I didn't realize that one day I would be such a fashion icon. So I always felt on the old skid steer at 3:30 a.m. I was
man,
this is gonna get me some.
We're off and running on a Tuesday, as you can tell. We've got injury news for the Texans that we've got to get into here. This could be a really important one. How much danger are the Texans in right now of blowing this lead in the AFC South? I did a little digging yesterday, and there was one particular thing that makes me very, very concerned. We will tell you what that is. We'll get into that in the next segment. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast. Appreciate you guys getting up with us on a holiday week here on a Tuesday. Stay there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Bobby's getting a lot of sartorial help on the 5-hour energy fan line. Slowick needs to wear a Tom Landry hat. Maybe that'll
help. Oh, that'd be good. What if he came out and... Who was the suit? Jack Del Rio wore a suit for a throwback deal like once. Yeah. The other guy, too. I'm blanking.
Remember when Amy Adams Strunk made Mike Vrabel dress up like Bum Phillips? Cosplay style, remember that?
Yeah.
Last year,
yeah. That's why she was so happy this year. She was like, "I won it," and it was because we didn't do cosplay. Yeah,
we'll get to that in the Pettycast at 8 o'clock. We've got crumbs left over in the Pettycast at 8 o'clock today.
I think it was Mike Nolan, if I remember correctly. Mike Nolan wore a suit once too. So former does Bobby Niners. Slowick show up wearing a suit?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I remember that with Nolan. You're right about that. I think it was Nolan who wore a suit one time.
And it turns out there's the thing against it was just basically because the coaches, even as sloppy and disheveled as Bill Belichick was, I think it was still NFL gear. Like, they want to get the branding and the logos out there.
Yeah.
You got to be wearing some kind of NFL gear these days. For all of those of you who want to bring back dignity to the sport.
That's right.
Good luck with that.
That's right. So Jalen Petrie left the game on Sunday with what was called at the time a shoulder injury. Turns out it is a tear of the pectoral muscle, according to Aaron Wilson, not a full tear of the pectoral muscle. According to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, Jalen Petrie could be back this season. There's a determination being made right now on whether or not to perform surgery on the tear. So we don't have nothing definitive yet on Jalen Petrie, other than he's going to miss some time at a minimum. So when I hear that, Seth, I'm just a regular dude who's never torn his pectoral muscle. I think probably the most noteworthy pectoral muscle tear in recent Houston Texans history was when J.J. Watt, in Week 8 against the Raiders back in 2019, tore his pectoral muscle. Kind of just during a play, came off to the sideline. You can see him just sort of holding his, rubbing his chest. And next thing you knew, boom, he's out for the year, or so we thought. He got surgery on it. He was able to make it back for the playoffs that year. Had a big play in that in that win over Buffalo. So that's a case of somebody who had surgery on the muscle and was able to got the injury in Week 8, and then 2 months later was able to make it back. Now the Texans are down to 5 games left in the regular season, and it would be a miracle right now if they're playing in 2 months.
Right,
honestly,
right.
The way they're playing right now. But if Jalen Petrie doesn't need surgery on this, then you're the former athlete. You tell me, can he get back on the field with this thing?
He could totally get back on the field. Everything's individual. It's not like, well, if he's tough, he'll get back on the field. They got to figure out how much strength he has, how much he can play through. The player himself has to make a decision about, all right, do I take the chance on going out there, hurting it further, and then delaying surgery, or should I get the surgery now so I know for sure I'm ready? So there's a little bit of, risk management and risk appetite in there. I would, just me guessing and speculating.
Yeah.
Is that I think Petrie strikes me as the kind of guy that's like, okay, what what do we have to do? Like, what's the timeline if I'm going to play with this?
Yes.
Frank Ragnow, the center for the Lions right now, he's currently playing with a partially torn pec.
Wow, okay. And that's a position where you need your hand fighting. You need the pec, yes.
The bench press matters a lot more at center than it does at star Amen. Or slot corner or whatever you want to call it. Let's just call it defensive back.
Sure.
So, but again, everybody's different. You know, Ragnow might just have a little minor tear or something. So you can work your way through it. You can play through it potentially. So I'm not giving up on Jalen Petrie. You know, we might have to worry about, okay, Jalen Petrie has made progress with his tackling technique. Mm-hmm. That might fall by the wayside a little bit, and he might become more of the human missile again. But so be it. I would still rather have him out there than
Eric Murray. Say it. Yes. Eric Murray. Yes. Eric Murray was awful on Sunday. He was terrible.
Well, when Jimmy Ward has to go play Jalen Petrie's position, then you're going to get more Eric Murray at safety.
Yeah.
And that's where you, as much as I know people get frustrated with Jimmy Ward at times, he brings a lot to the table.
I feel terrible for Petrie if it turns out that it's at a minimum, it's going to be something that knocks him out for the near future here. I feel terrible. So I already feel terrible for him because he's really, really come into his own in this role that he's in. Like, he is making at least one big play, it feels like, in all of these games. You know, the Indianapolis game, he had the big interception right before the half against Anthony Richardson. The Lions game, early in that game, he's got the tipped ball that Jimmy Ward intercepts on the very first drive of the game. In the Cowboys game, he had the second forced fumble on the same play that Derek Barnett scooped and scored. And he brings an energy too, man. This is Nick Caserio right here. Nick was on with me and Seth last Thursday, and you can tell from just Nick talking about Petrie here just how much he brings not only to the field but to the building.
JP's been awesome. I mean, you ask anybody in the building like what he means to our team, and you're going to get nothing but glowing remarks and positives. He plays the right way. He's got the right mindset. He's impactful with the plays. You know, I think every player, like, you're going to have plays, you know, either give up some plays, you want some plays back, but just his energy, his mindset, his physicality, his effort, his playmaking ability. I want to say he's our leading tackler or something. I mean, he's close. I think him and Henry are close, but he impacts the game in a positive way when he's on the field, and his attitude is infectious. I mean, we talked last year was 1,000. Like, we'll take 2,000 Jalen Petries on this football team. So he's embraced the role. It's different than the role last year, but we figured out that this is the best thing for him and for the football team. And he's gone out there and made play after play after play in each game. So, you know, we're fortunate. We feel like we have a number of good football players on this football team. You know, JP certainly high on the list.
So that one thing that Caserio said in there that's interesting, given the role change, it's a good thing this year that Jalen Petrie has as many tackles as he does. His rookie year, he had a boatload of tackles, but they were of the variety that, as Jimmy Ward told Jalen Petrie when Jimmy Ward got here, hey, man, it's not necessarily all that good for a safety to have that many tackles.
Right.
It's because the front seven was so bad that he did end up with a lot of tackles. He also ended up with a lot of missed tackles.
Yep.
This is different this year. You know, he plays a hybrid linebacker / defensive back position. And as a linebacker, in a lot of respects, yeah, it's good that he's hoovering up all these tackles.
Yeah.
So this has been just awesome to watch. It's been really cool to see Jalen Petrie being used exactly how he should be used.
Yeah.
Credit to D'Amico Ryans for figuring it out and Matt Burke. But it also speaks to, all right, the one good thing we've got going here is the defense. And even with some glitches and things they need to clean up, man, Jalen Petrie's a huge part of that.
He is.
You want to play complimentary football, we need to hopefully have Jalen Petrie and then find a counterpart on the offensive side of the ball who contributes the way that Jalen Petrie does.
That would be beautiful. That would be a beautiful thing. So we'll keep an eye on that this week, obviously. Texans off today. They're back at it tomorrow practicing for Jacksonville on Sunday. A game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610, noon on Sunday. All right, how much danger are the Texans in right now of blowing their lead in the AFC South?
Oh, no.
When they beat the Colts in Week 8 to go to 6-2 on the season, the thought was, they're two games up, and they've got the tiebreaker right now. This feels really good. And then since that Colts game in Week 8, they've gone 1-3. They're 7-5. The good news is The Colts have also gone 1-3 in that time. The Colts have done a really nice job of not taking advantage of this stretch that the Texans have. We thank the Colts for that. The magic number right now, Seth, there's five games to go for both the Texans and the Colts. They have the same bye week, so the math on these two is going to be very clean. They have the same week off, so they've played the same number of games. The magic number right now is 3, which means that's the combined number of Texans. This is more of a baseball thing, but it applies here. That's the combined number of Texans wins and Colts losses that you need to win the division. So yeah. You get any combination. Why is that funny? Why are you laughing?
Because I hadn't looked at Anthony Richardson's stats yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm so happy that he was 9 for 19 last week.
Oh, he's back to the old AR5.
He's back down below 50%.
Okay. I was like, did I say something?
Oh wait, no. I'm sorry. He was 11 for 28.
Oh, even better.
He was even worse. He was 11 for 28.
Yeah, by better I mean worse.
In which they scored 6 points. Look, it's versus the Lions.
Yeah.
So he was 39% completion percentage for 172 yards. Anthony Richardson remains, as I've always looked at him, I am terrified to face him on any given Sunday, and yet in accumulating wins over the course of a season,
yep,
he's not even close to being the guy that gets it done for you.
Right, right.
So, yeah, hey, they had an extra couple weeks to game plan for what he might do when he comes back. They shot their wad, and then here you go. You're back down to sub 50%.
So what I'm going to connect the dots here. What I'm hearing you say is you don't sound all that concerned about the Indianapolis Colts.
No, I don't think so. I think Anthony Richardson will have a couple more really impressive performances and then a bunch of stinkers as they play out the string.
According to the website I go to for look-ahead lines on games, you know, they've got the spread on every game for the rest of the year. If you look hard enough on the internet. So there's a website I go to. Now, I think one of these lines might be a typo because there's no way the Colts should be favored in Denver against the Broncos by 2.5. I refuse to believe that. But here's where I'm going with this. Let's assume that's true for a second.
Okay.
The Colts, if that's true, are favored in all of their games the rest of the year. They don't have a very difficult schedule. They have the Patriots this weekend in New England. Now, they're only favored by 2.5, so that's really a coin flip game. Then, like the Texans, they have a bye. They're at the Broncos in Week 15. Broncos have been a nice surprise this year, and they've got that is a defense that could force Anthony Richardson into a Seth Payne box score porn kind of game with Anthony Richardson. They're home for the Titans, favored by 4. They're at the Giants. The Giants stink. They're favored there. And then they host the Jags in Week 18. They're favored by a couple points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that Bronco game's got to be a typo. There's no way they're favored on the road against a team that's in the playoffs right now. Just no chance.
And well, then especially with their defensive way they're playing.
Right.
Versus Anthony Richardson.
And Bo Nix has been better now. And so but point being, even if they're underdogs in that Broncos game, that is a very manageable schedule for a mediocre to average NFL team. Like, the Texans need to take care of their business. You know what I mean? Like, if the Colts win this Sunday in New England, which is a distinct possibility, and the Texans lay an egg in Jacksonville, also a distinct possibility, now you're talking about going into the bye, having lost 5 of 7, and with the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens in an 11-day period coming out of the bye. Like, The one thing the Colts have over the Texans is they have an easier schedule and they have a way more normal schedule coming out. Sunday, 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 Sunday.
If you're looking at these lines for the Texans coming up, which ones are you most skeptical of? Because they're -5 at Jacksonville.
Okay.
I feel like that's been, if it hadn't been for last week's performance, that would have been a much healthier line than it is right now.
I wonder what's baked into that line as far as Trevor Lawrence's availability. He did practice yesterday. Yeah, keep going.
So the Texans are favored. They're -2.5 versus Miami at home.
That sounds about right to me, right? Like
sounds about right, but I'm looking side-eyed at everything right now.
No, I would take the Dolphins. If it were this week, I would take the Dolphins in that game.
I mean, +4 at Kansas City. Who are you betting on in that
situation? The only thing I would say about that is Kansas City plays everybody close.
Yep. Yeah, no matter how you feel about your individual team right now, they've played everybody close.
Everybody close, so I wouldn't touch that one. What about the Ravens game on Christmas?
Okay, they are 1.5-point underdogs versus the Ravens at home.
Yeah, I think you watched the Ravens last night. I think that could get ugly. That Ravens game,
yeah,
that could get it because the Texans, the one Achilles heel with the Ravens right now is their defense. And I don't think the Texans pose a threat to anybody right now offensively the way they're playing.
No, you're exactly right. It's kind of, well, you look at the Titans, and the scariest thing about the Titans going into it, that game was, okay, the Texans' biggest weakness is their interior offensive line. The Titans' greatest strength is their interior defensive line.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster, man, especially when you try to run it up the middle on third and one. When you've got an offensive coordinator whose answer for situational football is to run your extreme weakness into their extreme strength.
Yeah.
And I posted that yesterday, and people said, well, yeah, it's not like they were running well outside. Right. Okay. But this is the worst version. There are a lot of things bad in that game.
Yeah.
This is the worst version of everything that's bad in the game.
Right.
Including the fact that passing is an option. If you had developed any kind of a quick game, if you had any kind of hot routes or answers to the blitz or anything, if you had a well-designed and orchestrated offense, you've got many more answers than just trying to manhandle a 388-pound human being with offensive linemen who can't do it.
It never ceases to amaze me that people don't realize that when there are a slew of bad options, there's still one that is the best of those bad options. Like just because they're all bad doesn't mean they're all equal. You know?
Hey, I've got some financial difficulties. Should we cut back and stop going out to eat dinner or just commit suicide? Right. What? I don't know. What's the better option there? Just cut back a little bit. Bobby Slowe committed suicide on that play.
He did.
He said it's third and short. Let's run it into the guys who have been destroying our interior offensive linemen all game long.
Did you see Shaq on that play? Like Shaq and Titus right now. Oh God.
The sack. Well, the time Tavondre Sweat just swatted Shaq
like a gnat
out of the way,
and he just looks like him. Like sitting on the ground just looks so sad. It just looks so sad.
Man,
I'm not trying to be mean.
Devondre Sweat, I love guys our age probably love, well, not when they're playing the Texans, but you watch Devondre Sweat and it just brings back all these memories of the golden era of fat nose tackles.
Dude,
Ted Washington.
It's a good pick by the
Titans. You know,
Keith Titans.
Traylor could play three technique also, but the biggest thing about Ted Washington, and that's what it reminds me of, is Ted Washington would make plays on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was, and that's where the Texans, I think their plan, as it should have been, was, all right, we get the outside zone working.
Yep.
You get these big defensive tackles running sideline to sideline, chasing down boots and everything. And then it should kick in the second half, get those guys tired. Problem was, the Texans couldn't run outside zone.
No.
To the point where the linebackers weren't even worried about it. Like, the linebackers were sitting back, Sean, and it was almost like, they were just waiting for the prey to come back to them. The gazelles were running away from them, but they knew that the gazelles were going to come up upon a forest fire and they were going to run back. So the linebackers are just sitting at home, waiting for the cutback, jumping backside, doing this stuff. The Texans offense has got to a point where defenses can sit in a meeting room and say, hey, listen, we will be fundamentally unsound because we can get away with it versus this team.
That's what they did.
Listen, don't worry about whatever your normal reads are.
Yeah.
You don't even have to play that
Not
way with these guys because they're so bad.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's depressing. Of all
So
the
they
things.
Were unsuccessful in tiring out Tavondre Sweat.
They were indeed, no doubt. All right, let's get to headlines coming up next. D'Amico Ryan speaks to the media. We've got the Harbaugh Bowl last night. We've got a signing in baseball. How Astro fans feeling about this signing in the world of Major League Baseball? We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Yeah, for us, we just got to go do it. We got a lot of cleaning up to do, which we go through the film and our guys understand what we have to do. But we just have to go do it. As I told our guys, we don't need a big meeting. Nothing needs to be said or talked about. We just got to go do our job.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans yesterday right out of the chute at his press conference. Texans have the Jags coming up, coming off of a disastrous loss to the Titans on Sunday. I don't think I'm overstating it by calling it that, Seth.
What we could hope for? It's a shame that the bye week is so late this year. Do you remember the year that we went into the bye week almost convinced that the defensive coordinator was going to be fired? And at the time, it was his first defensive coordinator there from the
Who's his? You talking about
Romeo Crennel? It's Romeo.
Oh
Crennel.
Yeah, yeah, Rack. Yeah.
Sorry.
A lot of pronouns there. That's, yeah.
Well, it was a very specific year that we thought Romeo Crennel was probably going to get fired during the bye week, and then they came out after the bye week and actually improved a lot. They were different.
That was 2015. Yes, 2015. They were 2-5. Yep.
Frankly, listen. Even though it's my own mental frailty that led me to not be able to come up with Romeo Crennel's name, I do expect you to be better.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that was enough. I made enough cues there that you should have known I was talking about Romeo
Crennel was the first one that popped into my mind, but I never. Yeah. There was never a point in. Not to get too far off on that. There was never a point with Romeo Crennel I ever thought he was going to get fired. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, we did. Going into that bye week, it was ugly and it was rough.
Yeah.
And they figured some things out, and they came out and they were a different team after the bye week.
Remember that? They simplified the defense. That's what they did. Yeah.
So I don't think they need to simplify the offense. Yeah. They need to, if anything, maybe they do, because I think Bobby Slowik spends a lot of time. If you take all the time they've spent probably working on little gadgetry and little tweaks to the run game, if you go back and just actually work on the fundamentals from the beginning and get to a point where you can run the basic stuff right and guys look like they know what they're doing, you'd probably be better off than where you are right now. But now they're stuck in this death spiral of, how do we do it this week? And then it works for a quarter, and then it all falls apart.
Yes.
You know, because they don't have the fundamentals right. Nope. They don't have the very basics of this offense down to the point where they can actually operate the simple stuff right.
It's incredible, because this wasn't a great offense last year, but at least it looked like they knew what they were doing. You know, like they didn't run the ball real well, but a lot of teams don't run the ball real well. I mean, the big thing is CJ. You know, like CJ just looks like a completely different quarterback right now than the one last year.
It looks like it's starting to, and maybe it's injury best. Maybe he's got an injury that's undisclosed or what have you. But he's not stepping into his throws the same way. We'll play some Chris Long later talking about just his eyes dropping when the rush comes. And I don't know if I haven't noticed that as starkly, but maybe I'm not looking for it.
Yeah, we had a few people send that to us, so we'll have that for you in the 7 o'clock hour. Ross Tucker, who called the Texans game on Sunday here at NRG Stadium for CBS. He was on color duties. He'll join us in about 13 minutes or so. Jalen Petrie, pectoral injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out for or if he's going to miss the rest of the season. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on Jalen Petrie's injury.
Yeah, Jalen has a shoulder injury. He'll be out for some time.
What did he bring to this defense this year that you'll miss for however long he's out?
Well, Jalen has brought this... he's been a true impact player for us. Just being around the ball, just Eric causing interceptions, forcing fumbles. He's just been really active, very instinctive player for us. He's been all over the field, and he's made a lot of plays for us and just miss his instincts, miss his playmaking ability. We're going to miss that, all right? So we got to pick it up, and we got to go. We got to move forward. We got to press forward. Whoever else steps in, we got to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's always a drop-off when you lose a starter, a good starter like that. The problem with this, it's similar like Kamari Lassiter being out, and the next man up is a guy that they picked up off the streets like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like Eric Murray, the ripple effect here is Jimmy Ward gets bumped down to the Jalen Petrie role in that whatever we're labeling that position, that nickel, you know, nickel player right there. And then now that means Eric Murray is getting an unhealthy amount of snaps for the Texans. Unhealthy for the Texans' chances of winning football games, amount of snaps. So that's the thing. It's not just you're losing Petrie. It's, man, that's a position where, like corner, like running back. Like if something happens to Joe Mixon, I don't even want to know what happens at running back with this team.
There
are a few positions on this team right now where the depth is precariously thin, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think safety feels like one of them, especially as good as Jalen Petrie has played this year. Trevor Lawrence practiced yesterday for the Jags. It's still a wait and see if he plays on Sunday. He's been dealing with a shoulder injury. Monday Night Football last night, the Harbaugh brothers went at it tooth and nail in Los Angeles. Los Angeles hosting back-to-back primetime games. Rams on Sunday, Chargers on Monday. The Ravens get the better of the Chargers last night, 30-23. It was just weird watching that game. I'm like, this looks awfully familiar. Oh, that's right. They played there last night. Yeah.
Looking in the crowd, wondering how many people are sweating out the pity, the Diddy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, oh, the crowd doesn't seem quite into it. Well,
that guy.
There's a lot of distracted.
Definitely
Los
that
Angeles.
Guy.
Yeah.
For sure that guy.
These Los Angelinos are a little bit tense these days.
These are the two teams that if the season ended today, Seth, the Ravens and the Chargers, that the Texans would be most likely to play in the first round of the postseason.
Yeah, look, and I think maybe one of the more under-discussed or less glaring things about the Texans is that, you know, their run defense, you don't really feel like it's a solid foundation of the run defense. There's things they do. They come up and they make tackles for a loss. You know, they'll bleed a little bit, and then they'll stop a drive with a big play. But when you go up against a team like the Ravens, they can kill you with the quarterback and the running back,
yeah.
and they offset it with the passing game. Yeah, my trust in this Texans team to be able to line up and hold Derrick Henry when they couldn't really hold Pollard last week, I'm nervous about that, especially without Jalen Petrie.
Yep, they play on Christmas Day, and that's... We need to see a different version of the Texans between now and then to feel good about that game. Ravens get the better of the Chargers last night, 30-23. Advantage John Harbaugh in the battle of the Harbaugh brothers. Yusei Kikuchi signs with the Angels, 3 years, $63 million. And I would imagine Yusei Kikuchi, had he not had that stint with the Astros after the trade deadline, probably is not getting $21 million a year. That was a big debate yesterday, Seth. I saw people chattering online. You know, how does this affect? How does Yusei Kikuchi signing this deal within the division? You know, now you've almost created this Frankenstein, theoretically. Now he's on the Angels, which
he's
is
not a franchise that historically underperforms with guys like, you know.
Yeah. But
the best baseball player of this century.
Right, right. Well, two of them on the team at the same time. Mike Trout and
Shohei. Oh, they got
Shohei.
Kikuchi. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that said, I still have no problem with the Kikuchi trade. Like that's like you went into it knowing he was going to be on your team for the rest of the season, and that's probably it. Like it worked out to me. You got what you wanted out of it. Was he went basically undefeated the entire time? Blame the rest of the team for not getting further in the postseason.
Somebody can fact check me on this, but I believe at the time I said, and for the sake of full transparency, listen, this is going to be decided by how well the Astros do.
Yeah.
In the rest of the regular season and in the playoffs, and I will revise my opinion on it accordingly.
Yeah.
So, look, it did not. Was it a good move? Yes. In terms of, did you get a good player for the amount of compensation you gave up?
Yes.
And yet, ultimately, you flamed out in the playoffs. So, I can't in good conscience like give this a 100% endorsement on this because it just flat out, the sum total of it right now is all right. You gave up a lot of assets for something that was, it made your team better, but was it enough? Nope, it wasn't. So screw you. Hindsight, I will, with zero embarrassment, use hindsight reasoning on this.
There you go. I think the biggest thing for the Astros out of this is that if they're looking to bring in any pitchers in the future that may, you know, need a little tweaking or repair in free agency, you know, like you're looking to get a distressed asset. You know, this Kikuchi might be proof that the Astros car wash is still working, you know.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. No, and their development of young pitchers still. That continues. That part continues.
Yep. But you can plunk a guy down at the end of July and all of a sudden he turns into a different dude is remarkable. Rockets Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. All right, Ross Tucker is going to join us next. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. He was on the call for the Texans and the Titans on Sunday, so we will get Ross Tucker's thoughts on what he saw out there on Sunday, and should we be nervous about the Texans in the AFC South with five games to go in the season? We'll ask that of Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, next.